The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, that's good. Thank you, ladies. God bless you. Super. Well, I thank the Lord for the music program that we have here at Parkside Baptist Church. Thank you for all those that's involved in the music program, and certainly it's an honor to be able to pastor in a place where we have music that's protected and protected quite well. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 30, the Bible says, "Even the youth shall fail and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall." Now, wait a minute, here's what it says. It says, even the youths, that's those that have vigor, that's those that have energy, that's those, if you would please, that have the power to assert themselves in times where assertion is needed. And the Bible says, even the youth shall faint. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. And then it says that the young man shall utterly fall. But then it comes down to that verse that we read a moment ago in our text, where it says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, it says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to speak to you for a few minutes on running for God. Running for God. I have said often that when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, it was a no quit. And by the way, I don't ever want it to become a quit. But when I received Christ as my Savior, I dove. I dove in, and I was there Sunday morning, never missed. I was there Sunday night, never missed. I was there Wednesday night, never missed. I was going out soul winning one time a week at least, right after I got saved, and just never missed. I decided that if it was worth giving Jesus Christ something, it would be worth giving Him all. And so I decided not to be a half-in, half-out Christian, but I decided to be in all the way. I believe if you give yourself to something all the way, you ought to give yourself to something all the way. I don't think you ought to get in and get out and get in and get out. To me, that shows something that is not stable, something that's not right, something that has a question mark behind it. And I didn't want my parents that were lost to look on my life and have a question mark behind my life. I didn't want me to be the excuse why they would one day burn in hell. But I wanted them to see somebody that had something that was different. And that difference that was made in my life was Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you tonight about running for God. Running for God. You'll see there's three groups of people, I believe, that's in the auditorium tonight. Three groups of people that's represented, if you will, please, and every group, if you will, of Christians that's naming the name of Christ. And I want to give them to you tonight, and I want to give you how to become the third one, which is a runner. Statement number one, the first group of Christians are the sitters. They're the sitters. They come to church and they sit. That's all they ever do. They come to church and while the buses are rolling, they're sitting. While the Sunday school classes are growing, they're sitting. While the aisles are being filled with sinners, they're just sitting by. While somebody is being baptized and the baptismal waters are being moved, they just sit. While the church moves forward and is investing in a remodel program or a building program, they just sit by. Why some people give sacrificially, not them, they just decide to sit. They remind you of that which is a young man, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, of course, he went up and he put his crippled legs underneath the table and all he did was sit. Oh, he ate of that which was the palace provided meat and he ate of the meal, but he just sat. Everybody else did the labor. And he was just sitting there, very comfortably there. Did you know that if you're not careful, you can become very, very, very interested in just sitting around and not doing much for God? You can become somebody that doesn't invest. You can become somebody that doesn't get excited. You can become somebody that drops off of your soul winning and never goes soul winning again. And you just decide to be a comfortable sitter. And after a while, if you do that, you begin to give excuses why you believe that your sitting is right compared to others that are going and accomplishing things for God. There's cliques. Sometimes somebody says that's in a clique, well, let the Lord do His work. It's His work. Others would say, well, don't pluck green fruit. Others would say, well, let's not do this because after all, we may be doing it in the flesh. Others may say, well, you know, I just believe that we don't need to have mushroom growth. We need to have stable growth, maybe growing one or two people a year. those that are like Mephibosheths that sit with their crippled limbs underneath the table. They're sitting there and they come to Sunday school and they love to lap up the knowledge, but they do little with the knowledge whatsoever. They have energy to be able to use for Christ, but they choose not to use it for Christ. Rather, they will criticize others that will use their energies for Christ. They're bloated with spiritual carbohydrates, with their flappy muscles that are quivering like the yogurt, if you would please, that you would get down at some yogurt places. They sit there without exercise and they continue to build and swell themselves without getting out there and working themselves for God. These are the sitters. These are not the ones that you find in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, where the Bible says, with patience, it says, the race that is set before us, and is talking about running that race. Every time you see in the Bible that there was a runner, there was an urgency there. There was something that they were trying to accomplish. They were trying to run to do the will of God. Now, they may wait for a period of time to find out what the will of God is, but as soon as they are revealed to that will of God and what it might be, they run to accomplish that which is the will of God. The first group that we see, of course, is those that are Christians that are sitters. Then you'll see in the book of Psalms in verse 23, as you know it well, in verse 4, the Bible says, yea, though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's the walkers. So the first group is those that are the sitters. The second group is those that are the walkers. Now, let me tell you the difference, and you know it well, very practical, is there's a big difference between those that sit and those that get up and get. There's a big difference between those that sit and those that walk. A little walking is good for you, while sitting around can be something that could become detrimental to you. You could become lethargic, if you would please. Have you ever seen somebody that they sit in church and they're tired? And because they're tired, here's what happens. They begin to drift off and never land. And you know, sometimes even in our Bible college, we have young men that would come and they worked all night and they know that they need the truth and they know they need the Bible. And so what they'll do is they'll stand in the back because they know that it would be better to stand in the back than to fall asleep and get nothing. It would be far better to do a little bit of walking than to become lethargic and do nothing. It's far better to go out soul winning for 30 minutes than not go at all. It's far better to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, not come on Wednesday night. If that's all you can do, that's better than nothing. It is far better to read a little bit of Bible than no Bible. It's far better to come to the altar when the altar call is given sometimes than never coming at all. I'm saying there is those that are the walkers. They walk. Oh, you'll never see them running, but you'll never see them sitting either. Sometimes a person will slow down when they become aged. And as the agedness begins to overtake their physical body, they used to be a runner, but they had to slow down just a little bit, and that is perfectly understandable. But most people that used to run will never wind up sitting around. Most people that used to run want to do something. Now, they can't do what they used to do, but they're dead sure not going to try to become something or somebody that does nothing. Now, you understand this. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. How is it that you get through your valleys? You don't sit in them. You don't sit on them. When you're down, you don't sit down when you're down. You'll get poochie lip disease. You'll begin to suck on your thumb so much that it swells and you won't be able to get it out of your mouth. You have to be careful not to become that person that just sits. And you're engulfed by all of your problems. A person that complains about one thing, if you don't get over it, will complain about another. And if you don't get over it, you'll complain about something else. And before you know it, you sit down in self-pity, complaining about everything. And may I say, the best thing for us to do is to take the Bible as to what the Bible says and step out and begin to walk. Because walking is good for you. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It doesn't say, yea, though I sit in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Your fears come when you sit down and you look at all the things around you that's bigger than you are. You can look at all the things around you that's bigger than you are, and if you're not careful, you'll be overwhelmed. You'll be overtaken. It might be a disease. It might be a handicap. It might be a shortcoming. It might be a financial setback. It might be a relationship that is in defunct motion. It might be something else. But I'm telling you, if you sit down in the midst of a troubled time, you never make progress in getting out of your valley. The way you get out of the valley, friend, is get up and walk. You don't run from the valley. The valley is something you're supposed to walk in. Somebody says, well, I'll tell you what, I have problems with a person in this church, and so therefore I'll change churches. There's going to be the same personality in the next church you went to, and if you don't get victory in this church, you won't get victory in that church either. If you have a problem with a personality, the problem is not the personality. The problem is the lack of the victory that you have with the personality. Do you understand that victory is inside of a man? And through the Lord Jesus Christ that abides in that which is the man, there is victory for every problem that you face in your life. So if you do not get victory inside of your heart about an issue, about a person, about a problem, then you're going to have the same issue when you go someplace else. Because the problem is not the person, then the problem is not the event. The problem is how you're handling it. That's the problem. Somebody says, well, I smell it all the time. Just smells like something is rotten. Everywhere I go, it stinks. Everywhere I go, it smells. I smell it. Everywhere I go. The problem is that you've got it up underneath your nose. And it's a part of you. If you go wash yourself and allow the Holy Ghost of God to wash you, you'll find out that the problems will cease to exist. The second group of Christians are the walkers. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Isn't that amazing? For the walkers, we feel no evil, and for the walkers, we know that He is with us. The Bible says that we're comforted by two things. We're comforted by His rod and by His staff. Hey, are you listening to me? The Bible says that when you rebuke a wise man, he'll be yet wiser. The Bible says when you rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. He'll love you. That's the attributes of a wise person. But God says when you rebuke a scorner, they'll hate you all the more. So when you rebuke a person that is critical, they turn against you. You know why? The Bible just answered that because they're not wise. But a person that is wise, they take rebuke and they thank you and they say, thank you for that Sunday school teacher. Thank you for that husband. Thank you, wifey. Thank you, mama. Thank you, daddy. Thank you, preacher. Thank you for giving that to me. Now you're helping me to be able to walk through my valley. Now you're helping me with a rod. Oh, it hurt. Oh, I couldn't believe that you said that. But the Bible says that open rebuke is better than secret love. So it's better to tell somebody face to face than to hold it in. By the way, doesn't the Bible also say that whisperers, it uses the word chief. Chief. That means that they have mastered it. Chief. Whisperers. Separated. Friends. Well, as a matter of fact, I think it says whispers separate chief friends. So here are those that are whispers, and they will separate the very closest friends because they whisper. Now, wait a minute. Let me help you just a little bit. What do? You rise up and you walk. You walk. You walk. As you just keep walking, hey, I'm telling you, it's going to take you longer to get through your valley, but you're making progress. You're heading the right direction, and eventually you'll make it through. Three groups of people. There's the sitters. There's the walkers. Are you ready for this one? there's the runners. There are those that just take off like a house of fire, and they don't back up. Dr. Lee Robertson, in my perspective thinking, was a runner. Dr. Tom Malone. These are preachers that I knew. It was a runner. He's a runner. Dr. Jack Hiles. He was a runner. He's a runner. Brother Roloff. He was a flyer. I mean, a runner. He was a runner. He's a runner. Now, these guys have long since passed off the scene. Curtis Hudson. He's a runner. He's a runner. All right, now wait a minute. You look at these guys that have now passed off the scene, but you look back at their life and you say, well, I'll tell you what, I knew something about those guys. What were those guys all about? They ran. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, the Bible says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 26, the Bible says, I therefore, so run, not as uncertainty. The Bible says, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Listen to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, I keep my body. It says, and bring it, and it says, into subjection, that lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So the Apostle Paul said, he said, I'm trying to give it my best. I'm trying to run. He said, those that run ought to run to receive the prize. You have a prize in your life, and the prize that God has for you in your life, you ought to try to obtain. How do you do it? You run to it. You be excited about it. In the Bible, you'll see that there was Rebekah. Rebekah came down to the well. There was Abraham's servant there, and Abraham's servant that was, of course, searching for a wife for Isaac. The Bible says that gave instruction, the servant did, and said, look, you know, the camels have need of water. And she ran. She ran to fulfill that which was the job that was set before her. My, how we need people today that will run to build a Sunday school class and run to build a bus route and young men to run to preach the Bible and people that will run to go soul winning and run to live holy and dads and moms that will run to raise their families in the nurtured admonition of the Lord and young men that will run onto holiness and girls that will run onto godliness and how we need people that will simply decide that they'll run to be able to accomplish the greater whole for God. There was young Samuel. Samuel ran to Eli in the midnight hour. He was used to hearing authority. And as he heard authority, he heard the voice of one that was used to being the authority in his life, that man of God. And he raised up and he ran into Eli and he said, you call me? He was used to obeying the authority in his life. He ran. David ran, if you would please, when it came time to face the giant. All the other boys were sitting on the side of the hill. But it was David that said, okay, who is going to take? He can't continue to defile that which is the name of the Lord God. Somebody's got to face him. Somebody's got to stand up. And David said, I'll tell you what, I'll go down there and I'll face the giant. I'll take care of it. He ran. There was Elisha. Elisha ran after Elijah. Elijah turned to him one day and he said, look, he said, I go yonder. He said, why don't you go the other way? He said, whithersoever thou goest, I'll go. He said, I'll go with you. I want to be beside you. And the Bible says from that time on, over and over again, the Bible says, and they two, or they twain, went over. It was just two of them. But yet they had good fellowship as they ran to serve Jesus Christ. There was Philip. Philip one day noticed that there was a man that was in a chariot in the Gaza area, and here he is, and he is the representative. He is the steward, if you would please. He is the one that is the accountant. He's the treasurer of that which is the queen, Queen Candace, and she was, of course, the queen of Ethiopia. And the Bible says that here he is, and he's reading in the book of Isaiah, and I believe he's coming across those verses in Isaiah chapter 53 as he reads about the lamb, and he says, well, I don't understand this, and how how can I understand this unless a man will guide me? And the Bible says that here Philip opened up the book and began to explain unto him Jesus Christ. And he bowed his head. He ran to an opportunity to be able to see somebody receive Christ as Savior. There's a difference between a Mephibosheth that sits underneath a table, if you will, or sits with his legs underneath the table and says, serve me, serve me, serve me, serve me. There's a difference between that one that says, hey, I'm in the valley, but they don't sit down like a Mephibosheth. There's a difference. But they rise up and say, I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I realize there's death all around me. There's darkness all around me. There's persuasions all around me. But I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to get poochy lip disease. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm just going to keep walking for my Lord. And by the way, walking for him is better than just sitting around. It'd be better to make some progress than none at all. There are those that are the sitters. There are those that are the walkers. And I said, now there's those that are the runners. You think about Peter and John. Peter and John, what did they do? The Bible says they ran to the sepulchre. You think about young Rhoda. Young Rhoda, she goes to the door and there's a knock at the door. And all of a sudden, Peter's on the other side of the door. They've been praying for Peter to get out of prison. And what did young Rhoda do? Young Rhoda runs back to them and says, hey, he's here, he's here. And they say, well, you must have seen a ghost. But she ran back. There's excitement in serving Jesus Christ when God begins to work. Amen. Jacob left home and was gone for 20 years. The trickster, the crooked one, the one that robbed from his brother, the one, if you would please, stole the birthright. Now all of a sudden he hears that his brother's making his way across the prairie, making his way across the strip. He meets with God and he wrestles with God and God touches that which is the hollow of his thigh, and the rest of his life he's going to walk with a limp. But he remembered what God did that day. All of a sudden, it was Esau that saw Jacob coming across the crest, and it was Esau that ran to Jacob. May I say, the Bible teaches here that there's running that needs to be done. Run the soul winning, run to a person that's in need, run to a person that has wronged you, run to the Sunday school class and run to be a deacon and run a bus route and run to help somebody else. By the way, running is good. Let me give you some reasons why. Just give you some closing thoughts, but I want you to get them. Running is good. Why is running good? Because running keeps the Christian warm. I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but sometimes my hands, maybe it's because I'm old, maybe it's because I'm not running enough physically, I don't know. But sometimes I'll be studying and my hands get kind of cold. You know, my feet sometimes get cold. They have that old saying that says that you have cold hands, you have cold feet, means you have a, you know, your Bible, don't you? Warm heart. I don't know if that's true or not, but I sure do like it when my hands are cold. But can I tell you what I'll do? I'm embarrassed sometimes. My hands get cold, and so I'll stick it in my pocket, and I'll work it back and forth, 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 back and forth. And I'll just move that thing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Get that blood flowing a little bit so when I come up and shake somebody's hand, I don't blow them out of the saddle because I froze them. But you know, as you exercise that thing, what takes place is that blood begins to move. Come on. Can I tell you why we have lethargic Christians that are sitting in churches across America? It's simply because they're not moving like God wants them to move. They will sit there taking up their 18 inches of plus pew. And they become lethargic. I'm saying it's better to get up and walk than it is to sit. It's better to run than it is to walk. What does running do? Running will keep the Christian warm. Somebody says, well, Brother Wells, I'll tell you what, I just am not happy. Just not happy. I've lost my joy. Can I tell you the reason you've lost your joy is you've stopped running? I doubt very seriously if you're running to your Bible and reading it and walking with God like you used to. I doubt very seriously. I doubt very seriously if you're running and you're excited about seeing somebody get saved. I doubt very seriously. I doubt very seriously if you're running the church saying, I can't wait, I just can't wait, there's going to be something there for me. Probably you're not that way. See, when a person is running, it warms them. It warms them. It keeps them warm. It causes them, if you would please, to exercise. Now, let me give you something else. Look, running keeps the Christian happy. When you're running for God, let me help you a little bit. Let me help you a little bit. Okay, let's give you an illustration. Brother Nash, stand right here. Hold your Bible high. Now watch this. Just hold, stand right there and hold it high. If I take a teenager, Levi, come here. I take a teenager, and I say, all right, look, you see that truth right there? I want you to run as fast to it as you possibly can. You got it? Can you handle it? Okay, you ready? On your mark, get set, go. Come back. I take a teenager. Come here. You see that Bible? That Bible's got truth. You see that? You see that? You see that? On your mark, get set, go, man. I take a teenager. I take a young person. A young person. I say, you see that Bible over there? See that Bible? There's a man holding that Bible. He's preaching the truth. He's telling you what for. He's telling you what. Now, he's not a perfect man, but you're not a perfect boy. Did you know that? That's what your mama said. All right. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, okay? You see that Bible? You see that truth? On your mark, get set, go. Now, come on. Come on back here. Come here, Michael. You see that truth over there? Boy, it is so good, son. Oh, it is so good. On your mark. Get set. Go. Give me, just come here. Just come here. Give me some college boys. Now, don't kill each other. We've already had two ambulances here today and one fire truck. We don't need two more ambulances and one more fire truck. So don't run over each other. Don't trip and fall. Be better to pace yourself than to run, big boys, big boys, big boys, than it would be to trip and fall and trip over somebody else. You see that? That's truth. Boy, that's truth. By the way, you listen to me. It'd be far better for you to get your boys out on soul winning than not. Well, they don't want to go. Make them. Make them. Well, you know, my little honey child, he don't want to come to church. Make him. Until they get character enough to serve God and love God themselves, they need you to be character for them. I was out soul winning one day. I was back in the years of Tennessee. I was back out soul winning one day. I did that, you know, back then. I do it today. I was out soul winning one day, and I came in. Brother Smell, I came in. Only had three saved. Only had three saved. I walked in the house. I told my wife. Brother Bokey, I told my wife. I said, I had three saved. I thought she'd rejoice. She said, I thought your goal was five. I said, it was. She said, what are you doing home? Now, wait a minute. That was good for me. Because she was praying I would hit the goal. I never will forget that. Now, you listen to me. Your young person needs somebody spiritual enough in their life to challenge them. Boy, I tell you what, I wouldn't attend a dead Baptist church for nothing. You attend a dead Baptist church and they don't... Are you ready? On your mark. Set. You attend a dead Baptist church, what happens is they put nothing out there in front of those kids. Nothing. There's no bus route. Hey, there's no choir. There's no soul winning. What happens is the child becomes self-centered. They start worshiping themselves. And before you know it, they are ruined. Get set. Go. Now you listen to me. I'd much rather have these boys running after truth. I'd much rather have these boys running after the Bible. I'd much rather have these boys going out soul winning. Hey, put them on a bus route. Hey, help them to see somebody get saved. I'd much rather have them living for God than living for self. I'd much rather have a little bitty boy say amen that doesn't sound like a man than a man that doesn't want to sound like a man that never says amen. Man, I'd rather have somebody excited about doing something than somebody excited about doing nothing. Now, look, you gotta keep that before your kids. Your kid comes home and he's whining. Well, you know, we got a youth director now. And I don't like him. Oh, whanny, whanny, whanny. Dry it up. You got exactly what you deserve. You got exactly the one that God sent here. And God sent that one here for you because you needed to have what he has to give you. Hello. Well, those same kids that are whining about a youth director is the same kids as whining about their mama. It's the same kids as whining about the rules, whining about their daddy. How many know that Brother Nash has a different personality? Raise your hand. Can I tell you something about that, though? That sharpens you. Because everybody's not like you are. One day, God is going to bless you, and every boss you have for the rest of all eternity is going to be named Brother Nash. Because if you can't learn the lessons that you're supposed to under one, then God sends you another. How would you like to walk in a room and there's 50 Brother Nashes? Woo! That's how much God loves you. Come on. Well, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait to get out from underneath the rules of my house. Boy, I tell you what, it bothers me, it bothers me, it bothers me. I'm going to go join the military. Crazy. 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 Well, I don't like the way my daddy tells me to do something. Don't you ever get married, honey child. You're going to move from authority to authority. If you don't like your daddy, you're not going to like your husband. Hello. Thank you, fellas. Be seated. Put your arm down, Brother Nash. I'm not worried about his hands being cold. I smell something. Running keeps the Christian warm. Running keeps the Christian happy. Keeps the Christian happy. Running folks do not criticize. Running folks do not gossip. Running folks do not complain. Running folks do not slander. Running folks do not tear down. Running folks do not backbite. Why? They're too busy. Too busy. Man, they run and they run and they run and get tired. What do they do when they go home at night? Honey, you want to talk? Oh, I just want to go to bed. I'm saying tonight that running keeps the Christian happy. Statement number next, and I'm done. Running keeps the Christian from being tempted. All right, we can look at Joseph, and you can give me any side of it you want to, and I've heard many. Each Bible scripture, each Bible story, one interpretation, many applications. I've heard many applications. Most of them, you can read exactly what the person is trying to say. Many applications. We can look at Joseph and we say, Joseph, you shouldn't have did it. You shouldn't have did it. You went into that which was Potiphar's house. You scheduled the men to be outside and you committed yourself to do wrong. But at least he ran. Well, he got too close, but he ran. Potiphar's wife with her long stringy hair and her fangs could not put a bite on him. Got his coat, but didn't get the man. He ran. By the way, you be careful with some of these girls that are trying to put their fangs in you. Run, boy, run. She's walking down the hallway, and boy, she's got more shaking going on than that which is a volcano at full-fledged eruption time. She's walking down the hallway and her bottom is going ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. She's got so much paint on, it looks like that she had to go purchase her own paint store. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, you be careful. If she's got to paint herself up to get you, then probably you better stay away from her. Because if you ever do get her and you do get married and you go to kiss her, what you're kissing is not her lips anyway. It's that 5 inches of lipstick that's on there somewhere. You got to move it away until you get to the real thing. Might take you a week and a half. I'd be careful about the cool dudes. I'd be careful about a boy that spends more time fixing his hair than he does in his prayer life. Stands in the mirror and... I'd be careful about that boy. I would. Now you say, you've gone the meddling, but isn't it fun? Running keeps Christians from being tempted. If you don't want to be tempted, then you try to climb the Mount Everest of your life and your Christian endeavors to serve God. I remember the story of Brother Hiles many years ago. He was preaching in Atlanta and had a big burden. There wasn't really a thriving, soul-winning Independent Baptist church in Atlanta. I remember the story how he told about 1 o'clock in the morning, he drove down by Peachtree drove Peachtree Street in Atlanta. And he got out of the taxi and he began to pray, God, would you please, would you please, would you please, would you please help us to see a soul-winning Independent Baptist church in Atlanta. There was a very discouraged man back then by the name of Curtis Hudson. Curtis Hudson ran a mail truck. He averaged just a few people. That was about it. He was a postman. He averaged just a few people. He attended that sword conference back then, and he heard about soul winning, and he got bit. I remember Dr. Hudson telling him one of the messages he preached. He said, years ago, he said, I tell you what, he said, the First Baptist Church deacon always bothered me. He said, I'd always be riding down the road, and he said, I'd come to his house, and he'd always run out to get the mail, and he'd say, Curtis! How'd church go? He said, I had nothing to report. He said, that First Baptist deacon would always say, boy, our church service went good. We had one saved. We had one transfer. So many was baptized. Offering was up. He said, it always bothered him. He always got so mad that he tried to find a cat and run over the cat with his mail truck. Just so he could feel good. That's what he said. I'm just telling you what he said. I'm not saying it was right. If you're a cat lover, I'm just saying that's what he said. But he was disturbed. He's upset. All of a sudden he attended that old sword conference and God got a hold of his heart. And he understood it. He caught it. He said, that's it. It must be about souls. It must be about soul winning. And he gave himself for the cause of Christ and just started going soul winning. Now, I remind you, there was a day with that little group of people that was less than 50, grew to over 8,000. Became the largest independent Baptist church in the state of Georgia and one of the fastest growing independent Baptist churches in all the United States. Now, why? Simply because of the fact that he decided to do some running. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. That there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Once you step foot in the grave, I'm telling you, it is all over. It's done. It's done. Can do no more. Can accomplish no more. I was in Hattiesburg, Mississippi for years, and there was a boy that ran track and field. He's 15, 16 years of age. I forget the age, but he was out there, and he was running track and field. He was at the practice, and he was running, 15, 16 years of age, dropped dead of a heart attack. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. We have no idea. I'm 53. Don't whistle at that. But I feel like I'm a young 53. I feel like I have energy while I'm preaching. then I die immediately thereafter. But I'm giving it the best I've got with what I've got. Now, I don't know when God is going to call my number. I have no idea. I hope it's not at age 54 like Mama died. I hope I make it past 57 when my daddy died. I hope I can make it to about 100 or so when my aunt died. I hope that's it. She was hitting a softball and having somebody to run the bases for her when she was in her upper 80s. We said, how in the world did you do that? She said, you swing. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that it's important that we run. We run. Oh, Paul. He said, man, I'll tell you something. He said, I looked back at my life, and he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I fought a good fight. Kept that faith, and I finished my course. That's what I did. I hope we'll be able to look back and say, boy, I sure am glad I did, rather than saying, I wish I would have. I meet a lot of Christians as they get older. Here's what they say. Man, I wish I would have. I wish I would have. I wish I would have went ahead and got those bus driver's license to be able to help out so somebody could come to know Christ, and all I had to do was drive a bus. I wish I would have. I wish I would have. I wish I could have been used of God to lead somebody else to. I just wish I would have. I wish I would have used my voice to get in a choir and sing. I wish I would have. I wish I would have. I wish I would have. I wish I would have taken time to learn how to take a Bible or use a gospel tract, use a soul winning card, some type of tool to be able to show somebody their need of Jesus Christ. I just wish I would have. Don't let life pass you by. By the way, if I can be a soul winner, any man in this room, I promise you, can be a soul winner. You listen to me, boys. If I can be a preacher, I can tell you for sure that any man in this room can be a preacher. If I had a successful business, which I did, I can tell you that any man in this room can have a successful business and be able to have your own employees and be able to judge your own time and be able to manage life through being a businessman. I can promise you that. If I can write one or two books, can I tell you that probably you could write more? If I can get close to God, can I tell you, you probably can get closer? If I can help somebody to have a marriage that is straightened out, that's on the rocks, then I tell you that you can have a marriage that is straight and stays off the rocks. You can be close to God. You decide how fast you want to get there. You decide how fast you're going to get there. Now, can I tell you something? You ought to look at yourself and see what your prayer life's been like. Why don't you run to that tonight? Well, preacher, I hadn't prayed to God in a long time. Well, why don't you run to that tonight? Well, preacher, I hadn't read my Bible all this week, this month, or this year. Why don't you run to that tonight? Well, I'll tell you what, I hadn't passed out a gospel tract, and who knows when? Make your win tonight. Run to that tonight. I haven't led somebody to Jesus Christ, and I don't know when, and I don't know if I could ever do it again. You could do it if you want to, but you got to run to it. You got to run to it. You got to run to it. Isn't it amazing? We run to what interests us. We do. We run to what interests us. Some people run to the ball games. Some people run to playing golf. Some people run to shooting skeet. Some people run on vacation. They vacation more than they have time. Some people run to education. Some people run to this. It's about time somebody runs to God. It's about time somebody decides that they're going to run to obey Him in every way. Father, help us tonight, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.